day for your lamp to grow dim. This is not a day for you to faint and be discouraged and be disheartened. As the days get darker, so the light gets brighter. What God has begun in you, He will complete it to the wonderful and amazing, fulfilling day, the day of the Lord. Glory to God. Do you know that we all stand before the Lord one day? And we give an account. We give an account of the life that we've lived. You give an account for your actions and your deeds, the things that you've done and said, the things that you've been that you shouldn't have been, and done that you shouldn't have done. We all give an account. But I thank the Lord that the precious blood of Jesus cleanses us and brings us to a place of right standing with Him. It brings us to a place where my heart can be made clean and right. But when my heart is made clean and right, do you think that's the end of it? That's the beginning of the journey. You have a destiny. You have a call. God has not just saved you and opened your eyes and lifted off the veil so that you can just sort of just get along. God has called you as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. God has called you to be light in the darkness. God has called you to make way for the coming of the Lord. It staggers me how so many Christians are so ignorant of the word of God. We're governed more by the way that the world is going and the influences of the world than by the power of God's holy word. The word of the Lord lives and endures forever. The word of God is sent out for a purpose. This word, this light, in Him was light, and this light was the light of men. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, they can receive this light. This amazing, incredible, miraculous, ever-burning, ever-glowing, inextinguishable. This is the light that lives in you. This is the light that came down from heaven for you. Not for the person next to you, it's for you. We need to be people who are ablaze for God, hallelujah. To be a glow for God is not just the women's group. To be ablaze and a glow for God is for you. This is your destiny. You're not just meant to be a little tiny lamp. Lost my wick. We're not just a little tiny, tiny lamp. What I am, I'm full of fresh oil. Glory to God. Have you received your new anointing of fresh oil? Some people are great at giving a testimony at what God has done. And thank God for what He has done. But it's present continuous tense. What He is doing right now. Hallelujah. You've got to become a man, a woman of faith. Without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please God. It's actually impossible to know God. If you've got no faith, then you'll never move on in God. It's a paradox. How do you get the faith? By getting down on your knees, by rededicating yourself to the plan and purposes of God. Many people, and many people today, as the light shines on the pathway and they know the right way to go, many people still choose to go in darkness and to walk in the way of light. Why? Well, this is one of the mysteries. But we know, as we sang a little bit earlier, I lay me down. You've got to make that free will choice. No one else can make it for you. You can come as far as the cross, but you yourself, you've got to go and take that next step. You've got to say, I want to come to an end of me. I must decrease so that He might increase. Blessed be the name of the Lord. More of God. More love. More power. More light. More truth. More hope. More victory. This is the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. You know, when this glorious day of the Lord comes, and days and times will get darker and harder. But every time it gets harder and darker outside, inside, glory to God, there's something that's breaking forth. You can hear the angels singing. You can sense the power and the presence of God, the Shekinah presence of God. Soon, very soon, this earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. There's a great transformation taking place, a great transformation. You know, when the kingdom of God comes, it says it begins so small. Who are we compared to the vast sea of humanity? We're nothing. But I want to tell you, and over this past year now, I've just seen the way God is so moving in nations of this world. It's awesome. In China, and I think I shared last time it was here, been to so many meetings, I got mixed up. But amazing things that are just happening in China. More people are believers in China than people in Britain. Glory to God. And to just worship in Jerusalem with Chinese believers was just something awesome. Just something awesome. Do you know that just a few years ago, we had a tribe, Benai Manasseh, from India, and they've come back to Israel. Do you know where the latest Jews are coming back from? China. Glory to God. Wherever you go in the world, there are Jews. Isn't it strange that less than 0.1% of the world's population, but if you listen to the media and everything else, you think there are about 50% or 80%. Less than 0.1%. Isn't that amazing? And why are they so known? Because they're going to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has got for Israel. And Israel's plan and purpose is to stand one day in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel, and say, Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The king is coming. The trumpet is sounding. God is preparing his people. He's preparing your heart and life. Now, if you're just governed by the news and the newspaper, and that's all that you read, you go down and down. Do you know what governs my life? Hallelujah, when I'm in the Spirit. It's called gospel. It's called good news. It's great news. It's everlasting news. I took the service of my last older relative this week. And she went to be with the Lord. And she was a believer, and so it was lovely being able to, commit her to the hands of the Lord. But much more than that is to know as well that one day, we don't just meet again, but we really fulfill the destiny which God had for us. Sin has marred and destroyed mankind. Sin has marred and destroyed this earth. But in Acts 3 and 21, it tells us the time of restoration of all things is at hand, that Jesus has kept in heaven until a time. And that time, I believe, is very near. Glory to God. A time of restoration of all things. When God saved you, when the light first shone in your heart and life. And it's wonderful when the light first comes. And I saw the light. And Johnny Cash sang that. I saw the light. Walk no more in darkness and night. But you see, you've got to continue walking. I used to think it would just be like quite plain sailing. I'd begin and then it would get easier. But you know, you've got a battle. Onward, Christian soldiers. My wife was just saying yesterday, they don't sing that song anymore, do they? Well, they probably think it's too military or something. Well, it's so powerful. It's so true. We've got a battle on. There are powers of darkness, as we saw earlier. There's darkness that wants to overwhelm you. And if you want to jump inside that bottle and join the darkness, then you will. God won't stop you. But God doesn't want you to be there. God wants you to be where you're destined to be. And you're destined to be the head and not the tail. Glory to God. You're destined to be more than an overcomer. You've got a great destiny. This reminds me, wasn't there somebody else who was big age this week? Happy birthday to you. I heard there were great reports of great celebrations in Jay's household. That's the age that Moses began, wasn't he? 40 years ahead, and then another 40 leading the children of Israel. Well done. Happy birthday. But God's got a birthday for everyone in this place. The day that you were born again. Never forget that day. I love that song that says, "Never let my heart grow cold. Never let me go. Sometimes my heart's gone so cold." Sometimes it's hard not to let your heart grow cold. Well, in the flesh, it's impossible. But when you stay close to Jesus, you're ablaze. You're on fire for God. You're anointed with fresh oil. Your lamp will burn. Glory to God. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Make a stand. You know, this time of the year can be so, instead of uplifting, it can be so degrading. Sometimes it's so sad to see our society. But God wants you to be head and shoulders above everyone else. You were destined to ride upon the heavens. You were destined to be great. You were destined to be powerful. You are a man and a woman who has the seal and the anointing of God upon them. Can we just turn, Joel, to the scripture there, please, in John chapter 10. And let's pick it up from verse 22. At the feast of dedication, around this time, thousands of years ago, in Jerusalem, it was winter. We know that, don't we? And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Now, those who've been to Israel, and the rest of you, I hope you've booked your place. Got some good tours going this year. You can still see these steps, can't you? Where great miracles happened. The Jews gathered round him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah," or Christ, that's just the Greek word, Christ, "tell us plainly." Let's go on. Next verse, John. If you got the shorter edition there. No. John 10. Okay, I'll read it when he finds it. Go from verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Glory to God. Do you realize that once you are in Christ, you will not be snatched away? If you walk after the flesh, if you walk after the ways of this world, you will stumble, fall, you'll be in darkness. But if you choose, and the choice begins in your mind, and if you choose to walk in the way of God, you will always be kept by him. Hallelujah. And nothing and no one can pluck you out of his hand. I remember many years ago, there was this young fellow student, that's why it was many years ago, and he argued against God. And you'd never guess what he was going to be, which was an RE teacher. And he just would not accept Jesus or the Word of God. And we had a good friendship outside of our good debates. But he was adamant. No, we've got to be rational. We can't believe these miracles happened. We can't believe that Jesus is the only way. We can't believe that he rose from the dead. We can't believe that he's coming back again, and so on. That's how he reasoned. And then one day, he came to me, and he said these words, "I'm in a terrible mess." He said, "My life has fallen apart. Would you pray to your God for me?" And I said to him, "Well, my God is actually your God. And he's only a prayer away from you. And my prayer is actually less than a prayer that you can pray from your own heart." Hallelujah. And he prayed a prayer. "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's only a prayer away from you. The darkness does not need to overcome you." You know, when the oil, just that little bit of oil was left, it was a tiny army. They had to fight this great Greek army at the time, AD 165, that had conquered Jerusalem and the land. And the ruler was a wicked man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. And this man, he desecrated the temple. He degraded it. And in the end, this is where this tiny group of Jewish people, they said, "We cannot have this." They just had this one little bit of oil, but they had a passion in their heart for the things of God. And they said, "If we live, we'll praise God. If we die, we'll be forever with him." Hallelujah. You're not a loser following Jesus, you know. You are not a loser following Jesus. You're always a winner. We are more than conquerors. Glory to God. And that's why there are so many martyrs for Jesus in this day and age. I was reading a heartbreaking account, and don't get me wrong in this, because I believe we have a mission to refugees, but I know that there were Christians who were, because they were Christians, were thrown off those refugee boats, just thrown into the sea, and died, and yet will live forever. How far will your faith take you? Will you be willing to lay down, let go of everything to follow him? "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." What is the greatest thing in your life? Will you put Christ first? If you do, if you honor him, those who honor him will be honored. He'll raise you up. And Jesus moved amongst the people, and he taught them, and he did miracles, and they still didn't get it. And there are people here today who still don't get it. But God wants you to get it. And do you know what he said at the end of this passage? He said this. He said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is the great mystery, but the great truth of our faith. That God became man. Some people think that you have to have intermediaries to get to God the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know the Father. The Father will not act any differently to me. People of God, at this time, you need to be drawn into this light. You know, it tells us about the light of God. It says it's a light that no man can approach unto. And yet one day you're going to live in that light. Well, how can that be? Isn't that a contradiction? No. Because when we come ultimately to the fullness of that light, this outer man will have gone. And what's on the inside? We'll become part of it. We'll become part of this great dance of life, this eternity of God. Blessed be his holy name. God has called you to light. God wants you to get it. God wants you to understand that you're not just going to tick over, that this world is not just going to tick over. These poor people who are just have lost everything in the floods. Dreadful, isn't it, what's happening? But also, you know, that's a sort of a spiritual parable as well. How out of nowhere a flood can come. Have you ever had that? You just did not expect it. And suddenly, the flood came. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes again. God is wanting a people who will be like Noah, who will build their ark. I had this person who called at my home. And he asked me, he said, would you help me? I said, well, I would help you as I would help any man, or as any man would, a decent person would help anyone else. I said, of course I'd help you that way. I said, but you know what way I'm going to help you. He said, yes, that's why I've come. You're here to throw out a lifeline. As my grandchildren will tell you, have a little thing about lighthouses. I love lighthouses. Not too many left these days. They're all electronic or something. So I've got all these lighthouses round. And there's a song. We've never sung it here. Don't think it'll get into the repertoire. But it's called Jesus is the Lighthouse. I owe my soul to him. And I do. And he's called you to be a light. He's called you to be a lighthouse. There's an awful lot of people heading for the rocks. There's an awful lot of people who are smashed up and broken. And they're destroyed. And they don't know which way to turn. But we know which way to turn. Blessed be his holy name. You know, when Jesus said, I am my Father, one, they took up stones to kill him. They didn't get it. But this is the truth. Can we go to John chapter 8 and verse 12? And Margaret said before about the menorah being lit, you know, and it's such a big one. The biggest one, I think, in the world at the moment is 62 feet high. So that's pretty high, isn't it? But even that was not the biggest to what was in the temple. And in the temple, at the feast, when it was lit, where do you think the light went to? It went all around Jerusalem. In fact, people could see it for miles around. It didn't just light up the court, the immediate court of the priests or the Gentiles. It didn't do that at all. It did much more. It's amazing what light can do. You know, it tells us quite clearly in the scripture that the light of God is brighter than the sun. I had to go and see an eye specialist. And when he looked at my eye, they shine. If anyone ever had it where they shine the bright, you'd think, oh, you know, would you turn that off? It was so bright. I thought, well, you're going to damage my eyes if I didn't have it before. But of course, they know what they're doing. But it was very bright light. It's nothing compared to the light of God. And when the light of God shines in your heart and my heart, you know, there's some mucky corners. There's some places where maybe you've not let the light shine. Now is the time. And Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. 7 times in John's gospel, Jesus says, I am the holy name of God, Yahweh. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. You don't know what to do? Walk in paths of righteousness. Walk in the ways of God. And you will have the light of life. Hallelujah. God wants you to have the light of life. God wants you, just as the Greeks had destroyed and conquered the temple, and yet this little band, this little army, they turned the tide and they came and they didn't give up and they were willing to die for their faith and they were willing to die for their God. Maybe you have some desolate scenes in front of you. Maybe things are very bleak. Don't give up the hope. Do you remember that promise, what we saw at the start? That belief that one day he would see Zion restored to his people. Well, he didn't live to see it, but it's come to pass. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, for everyone who walks in the light of God, you will not walk in darkness. Let's just close with looking at John chapter 1, please. And we'll read from verse 6. There came a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, that's like you and me, to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him, not in him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens who? What does the scripture say? Every man. Some people think that God just has an elect. My Bible tells me quite clearly, there's a light in every man. And you might have people in your life that you would love to be in light, and you think, why are they in so much darkness? Because they've chosen darkness rather than light. Because at some stage, that light, at the beginning of their life, that light was there. So that means that light can come on again. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Next verse. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Glory to God. Jesus is the light. Jesus is one with the Father. He made the world. And the very world that he made, it did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Any children of God here today? Just a few. Everyone who believes in his name. Let's go on, please, Joel. Who were born, not of blood, not natural birth, not out of the will of the flesh, not planning for them, nor of the will of man. Who were they born of? Hallelujah. You're on this planet because it's the will of God for you to be on this planet. It's the will of Almighty God for you to be on this planet, full of light, full of hope, full of truth, full of victory, full of peace, full of joy. Hallelujah. This is God's will for you. You are not people of darkness. You are not people who are bound, but you're people who are abounding in Him. And the Word, the light, the Word, the way, the truth, the door, the resurrection, the vine, all of these things became flesh and dwelt amongst us, tabernacle, put His tent among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. God wants to come into His temple. Now, the temple now is not made with hands. The temple is your body. It's you. And God wants to bring His glory back into the temple. God wants the light, the anointing, the lamp of God to be shining in you. God wants you to be anointed with fresh oil. He wants you to be full of oil. God wants you to go into dark places. He doesn't want you to be afraid of the darkness, but He wants you to take the light in and the hope in and the truth in. And the challenge to us as people of God is, are we willing to do this? This is what the Feast of Dedication is all about. This is what the feast, another name for it is, the Feast of Lights. Glory to God. This is what this season is all about. That's why Jesus said, I and my Father are one at this very time. John's gospel is full of this meaning of a light that lightens the darkness. Let's just bow our heads. I believe, you know, it's just so heavy on my heart. There are people who need to rededicate their temple to God. There are people who need to get fresh oil in their life. I want to anoint people with oil. Maybe some of the other elders and leaders here would join me. I'd like people, just as we're praying now, would come out. If you just really need to rededicate your life. You want to see your temple on fire for God. What a time to really give yourself back to God. Just come forward. Let's pray for you. Others just bow their heads. There's people who should be out here. Thank you, Jesus.